Hey, you scruffy-looking nerf herders. Welcome to Records of the Republic, a podcast where we talk about all things Star Wars, from canon to the EU to Legends content and more. We are your hosts, Wade and Kevin, and we're going to make the jump to light speed as we try to tackle today's topic of conversation with you. Strap yourself in and don't get cocky as we embark on this journey together into the Star Wars universe.
Hey guys, welcome back to Records of the Republic. As always, my name is Wade and I am one quarter portion of Records of the Republic. And joined with me tonight is Kevin. We did a little flip-flop. Last week we had Alex, the week before we had Kevin.
Yep.
This week we've got Kevin again. So yeah, welcome back, Kevin.
Thanks, I'm happy to be here.
Took a little like week-long sabbatical.
Yeah, sporting my
needed
truly
a break.
Punch.
Very punch. I'm
Gross.
Such a bad option, but right. No, dude, they're really good. You got to try them.
I'm sure they are fantastic. I like Monster.
The hard monsters are just they're so good, and they started selling them. I did not know this, and this is going to be a problem for me. They started there. It's not really a problem. I don't want anyone like reaching out to us and being like, "Wait, are you okay?" But they started selling them individually at like BP and some of the local gas stations.
Tall boys.
So I don't have to go to Sam's Club to buy a multi-pack, you know, on our one trip to Sam's Club. I can do individual cans from time to time. So I was really excited to see that.
That's not a good thing. They should not be easier for you to get.
It's a fantastic thing. I think this is better than mixing like straight other stuff with just straight monster.
Yeah, maybe that's true. It's the monster that's the bad part, though. Wait.
Yeah, well, yes, I understand. Anyway, enough about my dietary habits. Kevin, how was your 2 weeks, technically, since we've last touched base?
I've had a good couple of weeks, man. It's last week having off was nice. We've gotten some time to relax, but also it's been really busy. At the same time. So I'm happy to be here. I've had plenty of time to catch up on some of the reading that I haven't been able to do in a while. Watched a little bit of Clone Wars. But life's good, man. I'm happy. How about you?
You know, it has been, this week has just flown by. Like, I remember Monday hit, and I was trying to get through last weekend because I knew last weekend meant a week until Comic-Con. And I was like, all right, I just got to get through the weekend, which I'm not usually like. Usually I'm like enjoying every bit of the weekend and everything. I was just like, I got to get through the weekend, then I got to get through the work week, and then I'm there. And Monday, I remember going into work and going, this week is going to fly by. I'm not going to miss any of it. Like, it's just going to go. It's going to be fine. We're going to be great. Everything, you know, I just put my head down, get the job done, go home, deal with the dishes, deal with the kids, cook. Like, I've been doing everything this week just to try and get the week, like, just to try and keep my mind occupied. And, of course, it's Thursday. Tomorrow's Friday. And that means Saturday is around the corner. And I am, like, I don't really know what I'm going to say, which we'll talk about a little bit. But I'm just it's been a good week. I don't remember any of it. It's going to pass on by very quickly. Penny had a birthday this past weekend, so we did do a bunch of stuff for that. Went out and got all of her birthday freebies and fun stuff like that. And
make the rounds.
You know, it was funny because, like, we got this is really bad. We went to some stores, and I told her, hey, you know, if you see stuff you want, we'll get it. You know, I got her birthday gifts, of course, but I said, you know, it's your weekend. If you want to get something, every store we went to, she didn't really find anything that she wanted. And I was kind of itching to, like, buy something. And, of course, we get to Target, and I kid you not, we're going down the toy aisle looking at the Legos, and they've got all the new Lego, like, Lego sets that came out for the 25th anniversary. So they've got, like, the Tantive IV and the Millennium Falcon, and these are all the MIDI scale ships that they came out for the anniversary. And then, what is General Grievous's flagship? What is it called? It's something hand.
I don't know.
I can't
Let's
remember.
Look it up.
I don't
look
think it's.
It up.
I don't think it's Grievous's hand, but it's something like that, or something fist, something hand or fist. But I saw the one thing I've always wanted. They've come out with a couple of different versions of it over time. It's the larger scaled size, like R2-D2 build. And they came out with one like a year or two ago that's like $250, $300, something like that. It's a big set, and it looks awesome. But I'm not going to spend that much on an R2-D2. But, holy cow, this year for the 25th anniversary, they did come out with another R2-D2 for $100. And that is what I've got right here.
Cool.
I was so excited. And it's got a little – Dylan will hear this, so I shouldn't tell him. But it comes with a little exclusive minifigure. It's a Darth Malak exclusive.
Oh.
And that's going to Dylan. I'm going to send that to him.
Nice. So, very cool.
But I was very excited to get that. So happy birthday, Penny. Thank you for buying me this.
Unreal.
I did get her some really cool stuff that she was like, and I think that was part of it, is she was just like, after she opened everything, she was like, yeah, I'm fine. You did a good job. So that was my reward for doing a good job.
Very nice.
Very proud of myself.
Yeah, you should be. You should be. You really worked hard.
I did, man.
All right, so I looked it up. His starfighter is called the Soulless One. And
not that one.
His capital, like flagship, is the Malevolence.
What the heck? I thought... Hold on.
The Invisible Hand.
Invisible
Hand.
That's one of them? That's it.
Yeah. He has a few. That's one of his flagships.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the Invisible Hand is the one that I was thinking of. That's cool. That's the set that they came out with in a MIDI scale, which is pretty cool. So that's what I've done this week, but I've just kind of been counting down. Oh, and today, of course, like I've been kind of counting down to Wednesday and to Thursday, because Wednesday we got the double episode release in Bad Batch,
yeah,
which I thought were fantastic episodes. And then today we got the release of the Battlefront Classic Collection. Kevin, have you played it yet?
Yeah, that's what I was doing right before this.
I got home, and the first thing I did was I looked at Penny, and I was like, hey, do you need anything? And she was like, no, I'm okay. I was like, okay, cool. Give me a second. And I turned on the Xbox and logged in and started playing a couple of rounds. And she looked at me, and she was like, is this what we're doing all evening? And I said, no, I'm going to play a couple of rounds. I just want to play it a little bit. It took me forever to get into a server.
Huh.
But once I did, I was good to go. But I'm just I played it on Xbox. I have not played it on PlayStation yet.
Did you really buy it for both platforms?
I'm going to get it for Switch, too.
Why?
Because it's not cross-platform.
I thought it was. We looked it up a couple of podcasts ago.
No, they were talking. That was before the full details had come out about it, when it was still like, hey, you know, there's a possibility because they're introducing it for things like Switch and that we may get cross-platform. It is not cross-platform.
Well, when you get it for Switch, maybe we'll be able to play. I have to get online, which I don't have, but if you get
it. Why didn't you get it for PlayStation?
Because the PlayStation's down here in the basement and the Switch is upstairs, so I know if I have it on the Switch, I'll be able to play it more.
I mean, at $30, it might be worth to buy it on both.
Sounds like I have a volunteer.
I'm just saying.
I already bought I'm not buying it again.
The funny thing is, well, I've got – this is what really frustrated me about it not being cross-platform. Alex's Xbox, your PlayStation, and then my buddy Andrew has a Switch.
Yeah.
And so if I want to play this game with any of you guys, I have to have it for that specific system.
Yeah. That really
that part
a
drives me nuts.
You. Yeah.
Yes, it is a problem issue for me. It was funny because after I got done playing Battlefront a little bit, we were eating dinner and everything, and Gene goes, play? And I'm like, what? And he's like, play game. And I'm trying to ask him, like, okay, what game do you want to play? Well, last night I introduced him to Animal Crossing.
Oh, nice.
And we were playing that and just picking up weeds and mostly fishing. That's all I do. If I play Animal Crossing, I fish. And that's like 90% of what I'm doing.
Nothing wrong with that.
So And I could not, for it took me like 5 or 6 minutes to figure out what he was asking. And then when I said Animal Crossing, he's like, yeah, that one. And so we pulled that out and played a little bit before I got on here. But
yeah, I got to show both of the older kids Battlefront. I played two rounds with Zach. We had fun. He wanted to play on Endor, so we did Endor. And then I wanted to play on Mustafar, so we did that. Had a lot of fun. And then I only had time to play one round with Sky, but she had fun with that too. But I can't wait to show them the campaign.
Dude, it looks pretty clean too.
Yeah, it does.
Like, the hardest thing I found was, for whatever reason, I'm having trouble aiming where I didn't have as much trouble with it in the original.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's just a me thing or what, you know, what's going on there. But I did get to play as General Grievous in one. I played two online matches, one on Dagobah and one on, what was the first one I did? God, I can't remember. Jabba's Palace, maybe?
Cool.
Something like that. But the second time I was playing as the Separatists, and so I did the Super Battle Droid with the rocket launcher, and I started blowing people up. That was fun. It was Yavin 4. It wasn't Jabba's Palace. It was Yavin 4. But I started blowing people up with the rocket launcher, and that was a blast. I love seeing clones go flying. And then I got that little pop-up screen at the bottom saying, do you want to play as General Grievous? And I said, yeah, I want to play as Grievous.
What do you think?
So that's a stupid question. Because at this point in time, like, the lightsaber users really are OP in this game. I still think they're kind of OP, especially when someone really figures them out in the EA Battlefront games. But I feel like I have a better chance, you know, with certain loadouts of killing you know, a lightsaber wielding force user in the newer Battlefronts than I do in these ones. So
you know who's really stoked. OP? Darth Sidious. Because he'll get you with the lightsaber, but he'll also get you with the lightning. Dooku's tough.
Dooku's awesome. I can't wait to play as him. Dude,
I had fun with Ki-Adi Mundi.
I didn't get that far. I only got to play the two maps, and then I was like, I got to do other stuff.
Well, we just played instant action, so I get to be whoever assured, I wanted.
We are going to be playing some more throughout the coming weeks.
Absolutely.
So that's a fun update. If you guys haven't ever played the original Battlefronts, this is absolutely worth spending the money on. Like, $35, I think, now that the pre-order price has gone back to regular, you know, just buy it price. It's like $35. You get two games, online play. Holy cow, is it good?
Yeah,
it felt like there was so much nostalgia built into it.
Yeah, so, absolutely. They did a good job of leaving it alone and not changing stuff.
Yes. Yeah, they really didn't. I mean, they updated some of the graphics and stuff like that, but that was really about it, besides adding online.
Which is what we wanted. Like,
exactly what we wanted.
How many years were we saying that?
Over the years, everyone has said, just remaster it. Don't touch anything with it other than update the graphics and gameplay a tiny bit, and we're good to go. That's it. So, very, very happy that we're finally being listened to.
I know. If Lucasfilm or LucasArts, I don't know who's developing these games, I can't remember, but if you're listening, and I know that you are listening, remaster the Revenge of the Sith game for me, please.
I think Asper was behind, I think that's the name of the company that was behind this one, if I remember correctly.
I don't know.
From what I read.
Whoever you are, thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yes. This was a much needed win.
Absolutely.
Moving on, dude, GalaxyCon is in 2 days. I'm freaking out. So I've been trying to think, like, what am I going to say, you know, when I walk up to the Clone Wars trio? Because here are the people that I'm looking at going to see. I've got a picture set up, a professional photo op with Ashley Eckstein, James Arnold Taylor, and Matt Lanter. So I'm getting a picture with the three of them together. And I'm not sure if I'm going to walk up and go, hello there. Or what should I say?
It depends.
When I go up.
Do you want to be original and, you know, have some fun with it, or do you want to have that moment for yourself. Like, I said hello there to Obi-Wan Kenobi.
That's what I'm kind of thinking, honestly. Like, I don't even know if I'm going to get it out. I'm going to walk up there and I'm just going to be so shell-shocked at the fact that I'm meeting these people who for so long have been, you know, that. And that's one of the things I try to explain when I'm talking to people at work about Star Wars animation, and they're like, yeah, I never watched the animation show, or yada, 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 it's for kids, whatever. And I'm like, no, listen, these voice actors have done such an incredible job adding so much background and depth to these characters, one of which was only created in the animation and was later brought to live action.
They have just as much claim over those characters as the live-action actors.
100%. And so that's why I'm like, you know, these guys are just as much Obi-Wan and Anakin and, of course, Ahsoka as anyone in the live-action. So, I'm going to go up there like a little kid, and I'm not sure if I'm going to fangirl and not really be able to say anything. I'm not sure if I'm going to say something stupid or say something stupid and try and play it off as cool. But I'm planning on, you know, definitely I've got the photo op set with them. So I'm trying to decide what I should say when that happens. And then I've got a selfie that I'm going to be taking with Paul Soon-Hyung Lee. I think I've been practicing that. Paul Soon-Hyung, maybe it's Hyung. I'm going to ask him. I know what I'm going to say to him.
Yeah,
I'm going to be like, hey, Paul.
There you go. You don't have to call people by their whole name. That's a thought.
But I know I'm going to be trying to take a picture with him. And then I'm thinking about doing a professional photo op with Gina Carano as well. So, because Cara Dune is one of those, I don't care how you feel about her politically. I don't really get into the politics of any of the actors. The way I look at it, when it comes to politics, everyone's entitled to their own belief. And if what they're saying is not causing any physical harm or inciting violence, anything like that, if they're not encouraging anything like that, their political beliefs are their political beliefs. Leave them alone. I agree with that for both sides of the aisle. Separate the actor from their beliefs. That's my stance on it. I don't agree with everything she says. I don't agree with everything Mark Hamill says. You know, I think actors are allowed to have their opinions, and I think we can appreciate, you know, the work that they do on screen aside from whatever they're, you know, I think people are too wrapped up in politics is what I would say. I think politics has just kind of driven a lot of people's lives, and that's become their identity. And it's like, dude, let's take a step back and move on. So anyway, I'm thinking about taking a picture with Gina Carano because Cara Dune was a pretty badass character. And I would love to take a picture with her as well. And then there's also Giancarlo Esposito and Katie Sackhoff, which I'm kind of debating on. And Emily Swallow, I think that's her name, right? Emily Swallow? Isn't she the one that played the armorer?
Oh, I don't know. I got to say, though, I'm very surprised that you aren't jumping at the opportunity to get a picture with Bo-Katan. I'm surprised
Bo-Katan is cool. I really like Bo-Katan, but I don't know if I liked her character enough to warrant taking a picture with her, if that makes sense. Because I'm kind of the same way with Moff Gideon. Like, I really enjoyed Moff Gideon as a bad guy, but I really don't like bad guys.
I wouldn't be meeting him as Moff Gideon. I'd be meeting him as Gus Fring.
I don't know what that's from.
Breaking Bad.
Oh, okay. But isn't he still playing a bad guy role in that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, see? I don't like bad guys. That's why I'm not going to see Ian McDiarmid.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not seeing Palps either. That's
absolutely insane.
That's the one that I'm like, if I were really to just throw caution to the wind and spend money to see someone, like, extra outside of the list of people that I really want to see, like, he would be the one that I would pay to see. But like, when I look at it, I'm also looking at like, how much do each of these photo ops cost? Cause some of them cost more than others.
Yeah.
Right. Katie Sackhoff and Giancarlo both cost more than Gina Carano. Gina Carano costs more than Paul Soon-Hyun Lee, and so on and so forth. So it's like, if I'm going to try and spend some money on buying stuff and some money on photos, I also kind of have to budget, like, how much do I really want to spend on photos? And do I want to get multiple photos, or do I want to spend, like, money on just getting one big photo? You know what I mean?
You're also going to get merch.
Like, I would absolutely love if they just did a Star Wars photo. Like, here are all the actors that have done something in Star Wars. Take a photo with all of them. I know that's way too much to organize, and that would probably be like $1,000, $2,000, something stupid like that. But that would be nice if I could just get a picture with all of them. That would be fantastic.
I'm very surprised that you're not jumping at the opportunity to meet one of the OGs. Like, prequel and OT, Palp and sequel, like, spanning all three, Palpatine. Like, that would be the first... That would be where I put my money, is meeting him.
But I hate Palpatine.
It doesn't matter. You're meeting him to say thank you.
But he is the, out of all of them, he is the most expensive.
As he should
to
be.
To see. But that's what I'm saying. Like, if I'm going to spend money, I can spend money taking a couple of pictures with characters I care more about, like Carson Tava. Or I can spend all my money on
Carson Tava than Palpatine.
100%.
Oh my god.
And Paul, if you're listening, I hope you understand this. I'm gonna have to tag him in a tweet to let him know, like, Carson Tava is a cooler pick, is a cooler character, because he's a New Republic officer and he gets to fly an X-wing, and Palps doesn't do any of that. Palps is lazy, he gets flown around in shuttles. He doesn't hardly do anything. He sits on a throne and watches minions do stuff for him. Man, Paul is like the Carson Tava is the heart, the backbone of the rebellion, of the New Republic. Like, he is the one out there getting his hands dirty, trying to make the world a better place.
We have different ideas of what greatness is.
Yes, absolutely.
I do think Carson Tava is great, but he's not on the same level as Palpatine.
But the other thing is, Carson Tava, well, Paul, crosses over and is also Uncle Iroh in the live-action Avatar, which is, that's the other crossover for me where it's like, I like Avatar a lot, and Uncle Iroh is my favorite character. Out of all the Avatar characters, he's the only one I have on my shelf, a figure in, a Funko and everything. Like, he's the only one I actually have anything of. So that one kind of seems like a no-brainer.
Yeah, I'm not trying to convince you to not see these other people. I'm just saying I'm surprised that Ian McDiarmid wasn't at the top of your list.
No. Because for the price of Ian McDiarmid, I can still see Cara Dune, Paul, and even possibly Katie Sackhoff, or pretty close to the price. Like, he is expensive to get a photo with. Now, if it were Hayden and Ian in a photo, yeah, I'd probably get a photo of the two of them. They're like a matching set. Yeah. Or same thing with like Ewan and Ian. Now, if it, or Ewan and Hayden, you know, I would spend the money.
I'm putting all my money in that.
Yeah, there's no question about that one. And I'm really bummed out. You know, we do have some friends on Twitter who got to go to AwesomeCon, which was this past weekend, and that was over in DC. And I had almost gone to that one because Hayden and Rosario Dawson and a couple other, like, what's the gal's name that plays Sabine? Sabine Wren.
I don't know her name.
I can't remember. But she was there. So there were a couple of, like, live action, and Hayden was there. That was the big thing for me where I was like, this is really, really tempting. But I decided on this one because, you know, all three Clone Wars actors. And I know I'm going to be going to the one in July in Raleigh. Because Sam Witwer is going to be there.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And that rounds everything out for me. I feel like the four people I think of when I think of voice acting for Star Wars are those four.
Yeah.
Now, Taylor Gray is going to be there, and I forget the lady's name that plays Hera Syndulla in Rebels. She's going to be there as well. So we're going to have like three different Rebels characters represented in the Raleigh Con. So I'm probably going to go to that to get some pictures with them as well. But yeah, I have no idea. I know what I'm going to say to Paul. I'm going to ask him if he knows who Records of the Republic is. And I am going to probably bring my Carson Tava helmet to see if he'll wear it for the picture. Because I would love that. That would be awesome.
I would ask him if he knows Records of the Republic after. Because you don't want to make him uncomfortable and ruin the interaction.
I'm not going to ruin it. I'm going to be like, hey, I promised you a drink. Do you remember that? So
do you, man. I think he's going to be super uncomfortable by that.
No, it's going to be
say
fine.
No to you.
He's just going to be like, yeah, yeah, I remember that. It's going to be fun. I'm going to be floating on cloud nine. There are so many, like, there are the Rebel Legion's going to be there. The 501st is going to be there. There's the droid builders who build, like, the life-size replica scale, you know, functional R2 units and stuff like that. Like, they're all going to be there. So they're going to have booths set up, and you can go and take pictures. And then there's, like, a Star Wars costume meetup, and then they're doing, like, a Mandalorian Q&A, and then a Clone Wars Q&A, and I'm so excited, man. I've never been to one of these things, and I have no idea what I'm going to do with myself. So it's going to be fun. I can't wait to take pictures and share them with everyone. All right, moving on to actual discussion topics tonight. First, we are covering Return of the Jedi, just talking a little bit about our favorite scene from the movie. We've had quite a few people respond to this one. We had a lot respond to A New Hope, and then it kind of dipped a little bit with Empire, but then we had a lot of people jump back on and respond to this one. So pretty cool. Kevin, I'm going to ask you first. What was your most memorable or favorite scene in Return of the Jedi, and why?
I'm going to give it, and then I'm going to give my honorable mention, because I've been debating with myself on this, but I did make a decision. It might be controversial, because this by itself did create controversy, but the edit, the special edition post prequel, when Luke is looking over at our two Force ghosts, and then young Anakin pops up. I understand the criticism. I understand why people don't love it. I don't care. It makes me well up every single time seeing Anakin right there with Yoda, with Ben Kenobi, looking at Luke, because Luke just did he saved the galaxy. Now say what you want about the sequels and what they did for that storyline, but it makes me emotional every single time.
It makes me emotional too, but for a different reason.
Because it's Hayden, it's like, it bridges a gap, right? Like, it's Anakin seeing his son do something good. It's different. It's different. It still means the same.
I like that they did it because of what it led into, and being able to use Hayden as, you know.
Yeah. In Ahsoka.
In Ahsoka, the way they were able to use him because of that. I do like that aspect of it. I felt like it made sense to use Shaw originally, and I feel bad for him that he was cut out from that.
It sure did make sense.
But
I think it also makes sense to use Hayden.
Yeah. So I'm kind of torn about that. I'm very much like all of the dialogue that happens between Palps, Luke, and Vader. You know, when Luke's brought up to Palps' throne room, and, you know, like, the whole time he's trying to twist him and turn him to the dark side, and he's like, nope, I'm not going to do this. You know, I'm a Jedi like my father before me, yada, 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 and fights his dad, and still Palps is, like, trying to turn him and everything, and Vader's trying to, you know, get him to join and whatever. And then eventually he gets to that point where he throws the lightsaber to the side. Not disrespectfully, like in another unnamed movie, but in a manner in which he's making a statement saying, I am a Jedi, and because of that, I will not strike you down. I'm not going to kill you. You know, he shows his father love, compassion, and forgiveness and opens the door for that redemption to come in. And redemption is a big thing. In Star Wars, it's big. In life, it's big. Second chances, you know. I'm not saying, you know, he's a bad, 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 bad man. He's done a lot of bad, 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 bad things. But Luke sensed that Anakin, not Darth Vader, Anakin was still somewhere in there, and he needed some help to get out. And Luke basically throwing his life away, saying, I'm not going to do this. You're going to have to kill me, was what it took to bring him out. Mm-hmm. And that was awesome. Like, I've been recently, I started the I, Jedi book by Michael Stackpole, because they came out with the unabridged version on audiobook, which, let me tell you, I will never listen to an abridged version again. Pissed me off. The abridged version was like 3 hours. The unabridged version is like 20 hours.
Wow.
So I'm getting so much more content. Yeah. And like, the unabridged version makes almost no sense listening to it, trying to gather like what's going on. Like, you can tell it jumps a whole bunch of scenes. Yeah, the abridged version. Sorry. The abridged version just jumps so many scenes that are really actually pretty important to the story. And but in the unabridged version, I hear Luke explaining to this new Jedi Academy, essentially, that he's formed. He opens up about who his father was and how love redeemed him. And it was such a cool moment. And to be listening to that on the day that we're talking with other fans about Return of the Jedi, you know, when I look back at that movie, that throne room scene, everything that happened in that throne room, that was peak storytelling for me. That's mm-hmm. what I wanted to see. I felt good after all of it, despite the fact that, you know, Vader/Anakin dies. It felt good. And a lot of people had that same reaction when I asked. Now, we did have quite a few people talking about the space battle, which was awesome because we got to see some new ships, and it felt like an actual, true, thorough, like, big fleet battle versus what we got in A New Hope was more, here are some starships attacking the Death Star, and, you know, they're sending out their starships.
Yeah.
And granted, still awesome. But this one was like full scale, like, hey, you know what, to the wall. We're going out there and we're doing what we can to stop this, even if it means, you know, the downfall of the rebels. And the last, you know, so many fun scenes. Yeah, exactly. You've got the A-wing that flies through the bridge control for one of the Star Destroyers, which was really fun. I remember chuckling at that when I saw that. Because you just see the guys like jump off of the little platform on the bridge as the A-wing goes flying through. Love that scene. And then the Millennium Falcon and Wedge flying into the Death Star itself to blow it up, and some of the maneuvers they have to try and weave through while also avoiding the TIE fighters. And I do love all of that. We got some people talking about specifically just the scene where Luke drags Vader to the Imperial shuttle and they have that little heart-to-heart conversation. You know, a couple people had said that was their favorite. One person said Leia and Wicket in their interaction was really, he was like, you know, she can charm literally anyone, anything. Like, that's who Leia is. And so I thought, wow, that's a really interesting point. I never thought about that. Like, that was kind of cool. And then a lot of people were talking about the whole sail barge thing. That was a fun scene. It was a great action scene. Mm-hmm. You know, minus some of the flunky stuff, like the bad kick and, you know, some of that stuff, but still a fun scene. Jabba's palace was a great scene, you know, where Luke comes in and he seems like a more composed version of himself. You know, he's definitely grown up a bit, matured a little bit from who he was at the end of Empire. So, you know, a lot of good conversations, a lot of awesome responses. That movie just means a lot to a lot of people, as do most of the movies. So super excited to have talked about that, because that, for the longest time, up until I watched Revenge of the Sith for the first time, Return of the Jedi was my favorite movie of all time, like, period. even more than Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones. Despite liking those movies a lot as a kid growing up, Return of the Jedi was it for me until Revenge of the Sith. And then it was still pretty close between those two. So that was a fun topic. Moving on to the main topic of conversation, we're not going to really do much of a summary of the Bad Batch, but we are going to talk about a couple of talking points, maybe some theories. But we got a two-part episode this week. We got Bad Batch episode 6 and 7, which I don't know the titles of right now. So I'm looking them up. I can't remember. I always do this. Like, I'm always ready until I'm not. Because I had even looked at them before we had gotten on here to make sure I knew what the titles were. Let's see. Maybe you can find them faster than I can. How is this that hard? Infiltration and Extraction. That's right.
There we go.
I knew they were related, too. Because, you know, one's infiltrating, one's extracting. So it makes sense with back-to-back episodes. I knew there. Anyway, episode 6 was cool. Opened up, we got to see Senator Chuchi and Senator Singh, I think was his name, the Separatist senator. And they're meeting for the first time. You know, essentially what they're alluding to is they're trying to start this, you know, underground secret alliance under, you know, Palpatine's nose so he doesn't know about it. But it's surrounded by a couple of familiar faces. We've got Rex, of course. We've got Hauser. I'm trying to remember. I don't think Fireball was there. I think Fireball was back at base. What was the Grease? No, it was something like that. Grease something or other. Because it's not Greel, maybe?
I have no idea.
I think it was Greel. It was something like that. But so there are a couple of familiar faces that we get to see, and I'm so glad we got to see Hauser. I was really, really happy to see Hauser again because I thought he was cool. I do have a little figure of him sitting on my bookshelf because he was a – clones that make stands for what's right mean something to me, you know? So they end up getting targeted by one of these, like, shadow assassin clones, which we saw, was it season 2 of Clone War or Bad Batch?
Yeah.
That was the first time we were introduced to him. And so they're trying to, they're attempting to, I think the target was Singh, if I'm not mistaken.
It was.
So, you know, through series of unfortunate events, you know, one of the clones gets taken out and then Hauser alerts Rex that so-and-so is not responding. So Rex goes on the defensive, they block them, whatever. Then they see him. They see that, and Rex has this awesome, like, Odell Beckham-style save. I mean, it was, like, one of the coolest things I've ever seen. Granted, it's animation, so I know, of course, they can make anything happen. But, you know, it was still pretty, like, oh, that's Rex. He hasn't lost his touch, you know? Like, Rex is still Rex. He is still full in it. But it was super cool because, like, the shadow trooper, like, throws a thermal detonator in there. And Rex makes this diving catch and catches it and immediately tosses it into another vent. And that to me was like, that's Rex. That's our boy.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the guy's escaping. They're chasing him on foot. You know, Rex is on top of it. Like, he clocks another detonator that was put on a pipe to try and, you know, knock them down, you know, that whatever. And so they're chasing him, and the guy looks like he's about to escape. And then here comes Hauser on the bark speeder and, you know, zap, zap, gets him with the stun blast. And so they take him back to base, and then we see, like, they're working out of this old abandoned. I don't know if it's the same building as what we saw in season 2 of The Bad Batch. You remember when Cody and Crosshair were dispatched? That's what it looked like to me. It looked very similar in my opinion. But I don't know if that's what it was supposed to be or if that's just coincidence. I have no idea.
Yeah.
But that's where they're operating, is in a building similar to that. And we see all these different clones. Like, there are, like, 5 or 6 different clones with different, like, painted armor. I don't know what their specific battalions, you know, whatever. I don't know who they were with, but I know some of them were with Luminara's troops on Kashyyyk because they had the camo with the green visors instead of just the black visors, you know, to see through. I think are they the 41st Elite Corps?
We have gone way beyond my level of knowledge.
Okay. Anyway, they're the camo troopers. They're the redneck guys. They're the ones out in the woods, you know, with the camo. They're cool. And so we see a couple of those guys are there. Rex is there. Hauser's there. And they remove that little sparky implant thing, you know, the failsafe that they've been implanting in their teeth so that they, you know, if they get interrogated, they don't die. Or they don't release any information. They can take their, you know what. So they start interrogating him, trying to find out. And then, you know, they start like, he's not answering them, right? He's not saying anything, whatever. And then they say Rex says something about like listing off planets and then mentions Tantus and gets him to respond and everything. And he looks up and he's like, oh yeah, we know about Tantus, you know, or something like, so a lot of fun there. Then something comes up about the Bad Batch. Echo was like, hey, we need to involve them in this. Oh, the puck.
Yes.
That's what it was. He had like the bounty puck almost that they were showing, and he was like, hey, you want to see this? And it shows that Omega's on the puck. So they're actively hunting for Omega. And so they end up roping the Bad Batch and calling them, making connections, and getting them to come out and everything. But in the meantime, we flash back to, I'm assuming, Tantus, and we see, I don't remember if his name is Scorch, but one of the Republic commando-style troopers, a commando clone, meet with another one of these shadow troopers. There's a lot of speculation as to whether this is a specific character or if it just happens to be, you know, another shadow trooper. But he comes up and he's going, you know, why did you activate me? Or why was I activated? That terminology threw me into a little bunny rabbit trail because I immediately started thinking, oh my gosh, what if this is an actual, like, there's a mechanical element to this and this is the beginning of the Dark Trooper, you know, program.
Right.
And I did have one person on Twitter like really poo-poo on that. And they're like, great, we didn't learn our lesson from Snoke. And my point with that is, fun fact, I was right. Snoke was Palpatine. So, you know, but yeah. He's like, did we not learn our, you know, he posted a picture of Marok or Merrick, you know, whatever his name is from Ahsoka. He's like, did we not learn our lesson from this guy or Snoke? And I'm like, come on, man. Like, it's one thing if I get it when you're the kind of fan that like makes these predictions, and if a prediction or a theory doesn't come true, you're like super ultra pissed. But it's like, obviously you don't listen to the podcast, because when that happened with Merrick, none of us cared. We were like, oh, okay, he's a nobody. He's literally a Sith fart or a Night Sister fart, you know, move on. Like, we don't care about this. So anyway, I did a little back and forth with him, but I wasn't super ugly or anything like that, trying to be inclusive. But anyway, I think they may be the beginning of the Dark Trooper program, which would make sense and be really cool. Because when you think about it, like all of this cloning technology and stuff that they're doing right now with the M counts and everything, like it's very much connected to what they've been doing in Mandalorian.
Right.
Right. With the clone, they've got the cloners, cloning facility, you know, all that fun stuff. They've been working on this for a long time. So it would not be a stretch to say that these guys could be, you know, a phase one, because they're always doing like dark menacing. You know, someone else was like, or these could be the precursors to like the Death Troopers that are, you know, with Krennic and stuff. And I was like, you know, yeah, actually, it could be that. But that terminology activated is what really, like, I know I'm hinging on that word, but that got me.
Well,
that one
yeah.
really got me.
No, I think that it's kind of likely, because this is what Filoni does. Like, he makes all of his stories flow together, right? And anything that he's been involved in. So I don't think it's just the word activated. I think it's that. Plus, this has kind of been a theory that people have had since the beginning of the show, that this would be worked into the plot in some way.
context would say there is a better than 0% chance.
Yeah.
That this is very much a possibility.
I think it's more likely that that you're right than it's Death Troopers.
I do too.
I don't think that's it.
I honestly do. I think it's much more likely. I mean, you look at what they're doing. What are they doing? They're trying to. They're performing experiments on these clones, trying to kind of perfect a secret dark elite force, right? What are the Dark Troopers? That's exactly what they are. They are the perfected form where they mention the only thing that we found out was still an issue was the body inside the suit.
Right.
I mean, and that's been like lore 101 when you get into the Dark Troopers. Since the beginning, the Dark Troopers started out as an elite force of people in these upgraded armor suits. Then it started to become more mechanical and sometimes even a painful kind of situation, kind of like what Vader's got going on, you know, where the body and the suit kind of started meshing and, you know, they were doing some really not cool things. And then they were like, finally, well, actually, I think this is the problem. We should just take out the organic altogether. Yeah, so no, I don't I'm think it's you. That much of a stretch.
No, I don't anyway, think so either.
All that to say, he gets activated to go hunt down the first trooper that gets caught. So, and he does a bunch of like sneaky, you know, when he does land and everything. But Bad Batch gets there and they're kind of setting up shop. Hauser obviously is pissed with Crosshair. Like, he doesn't trust him because the last time they were together, it wasn't great. You know, Hauser points out that a lot of his guys died and Crosshair was not their friend at the time. So, you know, Rex is that level-headed, like, hey, we're all on the same team now. Let's move forward. Just move on. Bygones be bygones. Anyway, so to speed this up a little bit, the trooper, the second shadow trooper is successful. He's able to, like, cause a diversion, blow up some machines, kill some of the clones outside, that kind of thing. And then he is able to get a blast off. He gets a shot off on the other one that's under interrogation and is able to kill him. But then the building starts toppling due to some of the explosions and everything. And what I found really interesting is, like, the dude was, like, covered in, like, a tomb of rocks. Like, boulders. Not just, like, pebbles. But boulders. And it didn't make sense to me that he was able to get out of that fairly easy if he doesn't have some kind of enhanced strength, enhanced suit, you know, whatever it may be. I feel like, and, you know, they kept going back to, you know, things like that band on the arm. He kept relying on those buttons and everything, and everything's very advanced with him, very advanced with these troopers technologically. So there are a lot of indicators, I think, context-wise, that lead me to believe this very well could be some form of precursor.
But
he's able to move some of the boulders. He's able to move some of the boulders away, stuff like that, and is able to kind of to get out and starts chasing them down. And then, like, he and Crosshair end up getting into a fist fight, and he steals the blade from one of the troopers that he had killed. And so he and Crosshair go back and forth. Now, this is what's interesting. Using the blade the way he is, a lot of people have pointed out that the only other person we've really seen do that, at least with that style of blade, was Cody. So people are kind of guessing, you know, is this they're speculating, essentially. Is this Cody? The two big popular speculations right now is it's either Cody or it's Tech. Right? If I'm going to believe that it's one of them, I'm going to go with Cody. I think Tech is dead. And I think it would hurt the fandom just as much to see Cody in that position. Because a lot of us in season two, when, you know, Rampart told Crosshair that Cody went AWOL, a lot of us were relieved. Because we were like, ah, he got out. Like, he's going to join up with Rex. So if his going AWOL was actually him getting sent to Tantus for experimentation.
I think that makes a lot of sense because Crosshair mentioned how they get stripped of their identity. They go through this like brainwashing training and they come out different.
Yep.
And I don't think, and he mentioned how it, they tried it on him and it didn't work. I think it stands to reason that it probably wouldn't work on Tech either. I don't think that it's Tech. I don't think that's likely at all. I don't think that it's, I really don't think that's Cody, but I do think that that would make sense.
I think it is someone we know though. Yeah, I very much believe.
Before the Night Sisters got a hold of him.
Here's the thing. I don't think they're going to have him. Like, it seems obvious that they have at least a supply of these guys. I'm not saying they have, like, you know, 30 or 40 of them. They might, considering how many clones they had. But they obviously have enough that they're able to activate, you know, reserve units.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see them, like, from a story point of view, I don't see Dave saving him at the end after that fall over the stream if he's not someone we know. Now, it could be Bly. I think it would be really cool to see someone like Bly in that position. You know, Gree, obviously, we're not going to see because his head was kind of by Yoda in Revenge of the Sith. But, you know, it could be Neo. That would be cool to see. So there are other clones that it could be that we haven't seen yet that I think it would be awesome to see. But I really think if it's someone we know, it's Cody. Which I hate to say because I really like Cody.
Yeah, it definitely could be.
And I think there's going to be an emotional aspect to it if it's Cody for Rex. Because you look at, you know, was it Rex that was looking at a photo in one of the, well, in the last season of Clone Wars, in the whatchamacallit, in the last season when they're getting ready to like join the Bad Batch, you know, and then end up rescuing Echo, right? He's looking at a picture essentially of him, Echo, Fives, and Cody. Those four are in that picture. And at that point, it was believed Echo and Fives were gone, and Cody and Rex were the only two left. We know Cody and Rex are close. So I think there would be a very huge emotional element to it if it is Cody. I think that would be very interesting to see. But anyway, so Crosshair ends up winning. Hauser, I think, ends up helping him, correct? Does he stun him again?
Yes.
And that's how he ends up falling over the edge. Again, I don't think you're going to fall that far down. You could see there were boulders at the bottom of that drop-off. I don't think you're going to survive that if there isn't some kind of enhancement going on.
They call it
either with the suit. Yeah, well, yeah, I know there's that. But, you know, that's what I'm getting at. I think enough of the Dark Trooper stuff. I'll move on. But Hauser ends up saving Crosshair, which is really cool. Because I think this is like, what, the second time we've seen Crosshair drown? Because didn't he start drowning in season one with Omega when they were escaping Kamino?
Maybe. I don't know.
I think so. When they were trapped in the tunnel.
I don't remember.
Because the tunnel
blew up.
You're
talking about
the finale? Yeah. Yeah. Of season one of Bad Batch.
Yeah, I don't remember him drowning.
This is the second time we've seen him start drowning.
I really didn't think that he was, like, he stopped moving. I thought he was dead.
I didn't think he was, I wasn't sure where it was going to go, but I honestly didn't think they were going to off him that soon after he got reunited and had the redemption arc and everything. And you can see, like, there's a connection between him and Omega. Like, when they're flying on the ship after Echo picks them up, like, she's got a toothpick in her mouth just like him, and she's trying to mimic. Like, you can see her kind of looking over to the side at how Crosshair is sitting in his chair, and she's trying to sit exactly like him. So there's some mimicry going on where she definitely admires Crosshair. And so I think because of that connection, they're going to start kind of using him a little more. I think he's going to be a, like, season finale off. Kind of
he really hasn't had a full redemption.
No, not yet. Now, he has proved himself beneficial in as many ways as he can. It was interesting seeing him interact with the shadow trooper that was, whatchamacallit, that was being interrogated. Cause like he walks in and he looks at him and the shadow trooper, like they recognize each other. They lock eyes for a second and he's like, this is not good. We've got to go. And so I think the shadow trooper was just trying to like kind of twist them against him. I don't think he was actually insinuating that Crosshair did anything wrong or is in the wrong or anything like that in cahoots with the Empire still.
Yeah.
But Crosshair did point out that they have ways of tracking these guys, which is how he ended up getting offed. But really cool. After they do escape from the tunnel and they all kind of gather on this platform, we find out that, you know, two shuttles are taken, are sent to essentially extract the Shadow Trooper and Omega to capture her alive. And we see that it's Commander Wolf with his original armor and markings still. If you remember, Cody didn't get to keep his original like colorings and everything. He had to go to all white and gray. So Wolf, it was kind of interesting to see him with his original colorings and everything, and his original helmet, which is very specialized. But so we get to see him. They end up landing on the platform where the Bad Batch and crew are hanging out. And then he and Rex have this awesome dialogue where he gets off and Rex gets off and Rex tells his guys basically to stand down and he takes his helmet off and Wolf takes his helmet off. And he's like, I thought you were dead. The records indicate you died on this and you know that you were in some crash. And he's like, I was, I lost a lot of good men that day and I lost a lot of good men today. You know, and it was just, then there's this huge emotional back and forth where, you know, Rex is telling Wolf, like, no, the Empire is mistreating us. Like, the Empire is experimenting on our brothers. We have to save them. We have to get them out. You have this option of joining us and helping us with this. And he's like, I have my orders. Like, I'm an Imperial soldier. And Rex points out that he's like, you're hunting a girl. Like, you're hunting a child. Tell me that's okay. And Wolf can't. And so Wolf ends up in the end letting them go and ordering his men to stand down. And so it was a really interesting moment where he didn't like, it was interesting to me that he didn't go with them, but he let them go.
Yep.
You know, but I think that speaks to the character of Rex more than anything. Wolf knows Rex incredibly well. Wolf knows that Rex is an honorable man, and if he believes something is wrong, then he's probably right. And I think Wolf is going to have this wrestling realization now with who the Empire is, what they're doing, just like Cody did in the episode with Crosshair. But awesome, awesome episodes. A lot of fun action. To me, the best thing about it was seeing all the different clones from different, you know, groups, regiments, whatever you want to call them. Just little sporadic, you know, guys that had been rescued, had gotten out, and now they're working in towards a cause that they believe in, and that's rescuing the rest of the clone troopers from under Imperial control.
Yeah, it's almost like the season is not just the wrapping up for the Bad Batch, but it's for the clones. Like, all the clones, they're getting everything. Their one final... I know we saw some of them in Rebels, but that was really just a glorified cameo.
I don't want to call it fan service, but, you know, it was kind of like, hey, for you Clone Wars fans, here's some more.
Yeah.
You know, here are three survivors that people liked. Wolf is Dave Filoni's guy. That's his favorite. Rex obviously is the fan favorite. And then Gregor's Gregor. He's a little different, you know?
Yeah.
But he's awesome different.
It just seems like this, because the final season of Clone Wars didn't really, it wrapped up some loose ends for sure. It was awesome. It's some of the best Star Wars that we got. But I think it seems like this season of Bad Batch is really closing out and giving us closure on some of the clones that we like.
Oh, yes. We're going to lose some people, and it's going to be hard.
We know the clones aren't going to win.
Yep. Yeah. Well, I mean, they could in a sense. Because we know clones exist, you know, like Obi-Wan Kenobi. We see the 501st. That's what I'm saying. Like, the clones could win in that they rescue some of their brothers from Tantus. You know, obviously they're not going to beat the Empire.
Right.
But they could get that those small victories that matter amongst themselves.
That's where my theory that we might see Vader pop in here. Like, the clones will do some damage, and then it will be time for the big guns. And the Empire will come in and clean up.
I don't know that we're going to see Vader. The more I started thinking about it, I think Vader has... I don't know. I'm torn on it. Because I think Vader in the has more on his plate in terms of hunting down the Jedi and, you know, getting the Inquisitors together at this point in time. I think that's a bigger pressing issue for Vader to address, because you can't really send, you know, some of these elite clones to hunt down the Jedi as effectively as you can former Jedi to hunt down the Jedi. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I would counter that. I agree with that, but I would counter it by Palpatine's line earlier when he's, I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was something like, all the resources of the Empire will be at your disposal.
At your disposal. But see, that's where I think they would bring in someone, you know, someone else, like a Tarkin or a, not necessarily Thrawn, because I don't think Thrawn's part of the Empire quite yet. I don't know where he's at in terms of his involvement. But, you know, that's where I think they bring in some kind of specialist expert that might be able to have some theory. You know, maybe they get the bounty hunters involved, that kind of thing. I just don't see – I think Palpatine has more need for Vader, because I think Palpatine's immediate threat right now is remaining Jedi. I think that would be his big fear, maybe. That the Jedi survivors – are really, I mean, that's why he has the Inquisitors and Vader hunt them down.
Yeah, but I don't think it would be much.
He's still worried about any survivors being able to form some kind of stand against him. And that's the biggest threat to his immediate throne.
I agree with that. How long could it take Vader to come in and take care of business here? I don't think it would be much of a pull from what he's currently doing.
The only reason I would want it to be Vader is because I want to see Rex with Vader.
Yeah, that would be cool.
I do want to see a standoff like that. That's something I would very much like.
I think that would make a lot of sense, because we've gotten that with everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. I don't know. Maybe Asajj gets hired to hunt them down. Maybe that's what her job is.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe Palpatine recruits her.
But anyway, all of that to say, I thought these were some excellent episodes. They very much held my interest. This is the first set of episodes that I think I've watched back to back in the same day. Like, usually I'll watch them twice before the recording. Usually I'll watch them like once on Wednesday and once on Thursday. This was the first time I actually watched them both on Wednesday and then again on Thursday.
Because
I just, I loved everything about it. The clones are my favorite part. They were awesome.
I liked the episodes, but like I told you before, they weren't my favorite of the season so far. It definitely, for me, felt like a step back from what we've gotten, which was inevitable. Like, they couldn't keep that pace for 16 episodes, so I'm not like sitting here mad
forever.
And they were good episodes. Like, they were entertaining. I loved Crosshair's fight. That was probably, for me, the most locked in I was in both of the episodes.
Right.
So they had their moments, but not the most electric for me.
That's fair. Now, do you have anything else to say on this?
I don't.
Okay. I've got a fun little voicemail from, I'll let you guess who.
RFP.
Can you guess? Yeah, it's RFP. All right. And he said, it's a biggin. That's the title of the recording. It's a biggin. 6 minutes. It's not terribly big, but it's a biggin. You ready?
Yeah.
Tell me how close or far I need to do my janky setup.
Cab, wait, no, it should be there. It's your fifth island engine. Roll for it, boy. With a couple momentary thoughts from the past couple weeks. Kind of long-term back and forth with my voicemails, mostly from Wade, because I kind of feel like he's trolling me a little bit with the whole Disney Star Wars thing. Because it is known that Disney has no interest in getting into the mix of whatever Lucasfilm or Marvel or Pixar are doing. Their only say is whenever studios like Lucasfilm or Marvel or Pixar finish films, Disney decides where they're going on a calendar for release. That's how that works. Everything else aside, they're not dangling little marionette strings with little folks on the sides dipping into storytelling and filmmaking and being part of putting video game stuff together or telling stories and novels and books and audiobooks. None of that. And if you're curious how nobody me knows something like this, well, you're familiar. I follow spoilers and friends with folks that dig into spoilers that come not from Reddit or some whatever someplace called 4chan is. No, they come out of Lucasfilm. And some things that have been shared with me, like them folks themselves, I made a promise to keep those under my Imperial Kepi. So I can't share some of them. But anyhow, this week, Return of the Jedi. Favorite, which I don't really do. Favorite scene. I'll just pick one. And yeah, it's going to... The Emperor's arrival in the second Death Star, which a good part of those scenes were matte paintings, if you didn't know. Some neat, fun behind-the-scenes stuff. And also this week's Bad Batch, episodes 6 and 7. I had to wait to get home from work a little after 1 p.m., and I hyperspace jumped my ass home as quick as I could. Putting up with all the whoever's in front of me, I got a good little stretch of 4-lane that gets me home pretty right quick. Wow. It's just the animation to me, I'm watching it, it's like live action, in my opinion. Lucasfilm animation is just way above and beyond, in my opinion. And the story, especially when seeing they're named in the credits as Clone X, and then also seeing in other places like StarWars.com and Twitterverse are putting numbers. The first CX commando that Gregor stunned on Pantora was CX-1, and then the second one sent to take him out was CX-2 is what I'm seeing. And whenever he got into, did anybody happen to recognize or notice where Rex and his boys were hiding that ended up getting absolutely trashed and took out? That's the monastery on Teth, the same place in the Clone Wars film that we see Anakin and Ahsoka making the assault that also made a little appearance in The World Between Worlds in Ahsoka when she's going to the three different spots with Anakin. The first place was on Teth, the battle on Teth. And I was just, I don't know how I didn't fall out of my seat more than thrice when that CX got into that base, and then Rex is, there's always another way out. And they were making their way down to that little boarding craft we saw used back in season 2. And I just thought, get that girl between everybody. Protect her at all costs. That was some nail biters right there. Just wow. And they did got it done. Crosshair took care of. I've seen some neat speculation on who CX2, who that might be. Heard it said that some folks are guessing that it could be Cody, which I don't know if I buy into that. I've heard a really neat one. Star Wars Meg just today on her video had put out her thoughts on did Hemlock clone Crosshair, because the fight between them two, Crosshair is pretty formidable, and I don't know, I think I could buy into that one, but what do Yin's boys think? And Next week's the last one that screeners have seen.
Mm-hmm.
Don't expect bounty hunters, I can say to that. But after that, we're in new territory. We get two weeks, single episodes. And then 3 weeks from now, there'll be another two drop. And then it's clean to the end for the last four. But that's what I got for this week. And this is a long one. Whoa. Looking forward to the company, boys. I'm still listening. I might not be posting my playlist in the Twitterverse right now. But that don't mean my playlist ain't playing, because it most surely is. Looking forward to having Records of the Republic in my ears. Long live the Empire.
So, thank you, RFB, for sending that in. We always look forward to your voicemails. Also, I didn't make some of those connections. That's so cool how much they're, you know, not reverting back, but they're using stuff from other seasons. You know, I didn't even think of, nor have I seen the theory about Crosshair having been cloned.
Yeah.
It would make sense, because they definitely have the accuracy that Crosshair used to have, and that could be why we saw the whole back and forth between, I guess, CX-1 and Crosshair when he was being detained and Hauser and Rex were with him. That could explain that whole interaction between the two of them.
Yeah,
I mean, if these guys are all clones of Crosshair, that would be crazy. And it would explain, you know, that Crosshair is covering something up. It's not that he flunked out of the program. It's that he was the template for the program.
Or maybe I could see a world where, you know, they have a confrontation with Hemlock and he's like, oh, you think you escaped? Like, you think you failed this program? That's exactly what I wanted. I didn't want you for this program. I wanted to clone you.
The only thing that I have issue with, because I vaguely remember them having issues at one point in Clone Wars with the original Jango Fett template, not like them running low or running out or something like that. And I feel like unless they've been able to perfect it somehow, I just don't see them cloning a clone. I don't know how that would work and if that would work without any kind of negative side effects.
Well, I think they can, but the further you get away from the original source, the harder it becomes, which is, I think, part of why they want Omega. Because she's just like Boba, directly from the source.
Right. That would make sense. But awesome thoughts, RFB. We greatly, greatly appreciate your input. Kevin, do you have anything else to add? I think that was pretty much it for tonight.
Yeah, this was a good one.
This was a great one. Next time you guys hear from us, I will be post Comic-Con, probably hitting an all-time low in my life. I don't know what I'm going to do with myself the following week, but I'll still have Bad Batch to look forward to. So that's encouraging. Hit us up on Twitter, Instagram, Reddit, Facebook, and what else? TikTok, all of those fun social media platforms where YouTube. We are active and love interacting with you guys. YouTube, we are on the tube. and leave us a review. Let us know how we're doing. Send us some input. Send us an email with a prompt or a question if you guys have one for us. recordsoftherepublic@gmail.com. Send us a voicemail just like RFB does. We'd love to hear from you guys. As always, may the force be with you, and remember, this is the way.